Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18 plus. Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we're going to be reading some truly creepy stories from national parks, state parks, and normal parks. These stories interest me more than a lot of others simply because, no matter how secluded or in the middle of a city a park may be, this is where a spike of crime usually occurs. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a story from some kind of park or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone in the swamp. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. I went to Nebraska National Forest every long weekend with two friends who I'll call Haley and Todd. I have known them for years and we would never hike alone because of the risk. So, we became a group. Anyways, it was spring last year when we went on a week-long backpacking trip. It was a 7-hour drive there. I, being 14, couldn't drive, but Haley was 16 and Todd was 15. Haley drove us there and we had a great time for the first few hours of the drive. But when we got closer to the forest, something felt off. I know it sounds cliche, but I had this feeling like I was going to get sick. I tried to ignore it at first, and thought I was just nervous. So Haley and Todd, I guess, noticed that I was acting off. They asked me what was up, and when I told them something wasn't right, they laughed, thinking I was trying to scare them. A few hours later, the feeling is still there, but we are on a trailhead now. I got out, and everything was as it should be. We grabbed our packs and off we went. I felt like I was at home in the trees, and the feeling was soon forgotten. We walked a little over 5 miles that day before we set up camp. We had a two-person tent that Haley and I brought, and then a hammock that Todd had brought. After we set up camp, ate, and were just chilling by the fire, there wasn't any alcohol or drugs involved, we were just talking. Todd began complaining about how he didn't want to sleep in his hammock. I didn't want to listen to him complaining and offered to switch places. He gladly accepted. So the night went on as usual. Around 2 a.m., when we all got tired and went to bed, well, everyone but me. I have extremely bad insomnia, so I was just mending to the fire and chilling. Finally, I decided that I would get in the hammock and just try to read or something. So I put out the fire, grabbed my headlamp, and got into the hammock. I noticed that something was off, but I just couldn't place what it was. That's when it hit me. It was completely silent in the woods. No crickets, no animals, nothing. My skin started to crawl. Something was off. I turned out my headlamp and laid and kept silent. I wanted to try and hear some type of animal to ease my worries. That's when I heard it. Something was dragging against the tent. I wasn't even 5 feet from the tent and it freaked me out. I did something really stupid. I called out my friends' names, and the noise stopped. I got no answer, but this feeling of dread was something I haven't ever felt before or since. That's when I felt it. Something poked the hammock. It wasn't like a soft poke. It was like a jab. I was horrified, to be honest. What the hell had just touched me, and where the hell was it? I was frozen. I suffered from anxiety and I felt the panic rising in me. I couldn't understand what was going on. That's when I made another mistake. I decided to see what wanted to jab me. All this happened within seconds. I reached up and clicked on my light. That's when I saw it. It's like something straight out of nightmares. There was a creature about 4 feet above me staring at me, kind of hunched over. I was about 3 feet off the ground, so this thing was probably 7 or 8 feet tall. It looked like a dog, but it also didn't. It had the face of a wolf, but in a human type of way. The eyes looked red, and the ears looked clipped like a pit bull's. Its mouth pulled back in a snarl, and a hand, or claw, paw, whatever you want to call it, blocking its face. I was absolutely terrified. Its teeth were huge and sharp. The paws, if you could even call them that, had 5-finger-type things with sharp, long claws on them. They looked like they could tear me apart. I stared at this thing for what felt like hours, but was only probably 5 seconds. That's when I screamed bloody murder. As soon as I did, this thing let out something between a scream and a howl. It was deep and I could feel it. That's when I heard Todd yell, "What the heck was that?" I heard the tent opening, and that's when the creature and I finally broke eye contact. I yelled at Haley and Todd to help me. I looked back and this thing was climbing the freaking tree. It was still staring at me. That's when I saw the back of it. It had the tail of a dog. Grayish, silver fur. A black mane down its back. And a hump. I took this opportunity to scramble out of my hammock. We took off without grabbing anything. I had no shoes or anything. We made it to the car, but the whole time back I heard something in the trees. The next day we had park rangers go get our stuff because we were so freaked out. When they got there, everything was gone. Not even trash remained. It was as if we were never there. They blamed us for lying. We have no idea what happened, and I had no idea what I saw or why it didn't just kill me. I haven't been back in the woods for a very long time. But every time I close my eyes, I still see that thing and hear its roar. When I was 16, almost 5 years ago, I was camping for the weekend in the Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania with my dad. It was an annual tradition that he and I had visiting the Zippo Museum and the Kinzua Dam. Our first night there was going normally. My dad and I were talking and burning various things in our fire pit. At around 11:30 p.m., my dad told me he was going to bed, so he got up and went into his tent across from mine. I kept adding wood to the fire and decided to stay up. 45 minutes after my dad went to sleep, it got unnaturally cold. It was late June, but it felt like November. Then I saw it in the trees outside of our campsite. 2 glowing yellow eyes that stood about 8 feet off the ground, if I had to guess. In the brief moment that I was able to shine my flashlight into the woods, I saw that this thing was tall, lanky, and had an awkward body. It dashed into the darkness, and I could no longer see it. It was no longer cold when it left as well. Less than 5 minutes later, I could hear traditional Native American music off in the distance. I heard a few drums and a flute. I quickly got into my own tent and crawled into my sleeping bag. I eventually fell asleep, and our camping trip continued without incident. I'm not sure if my dad believed me when I told him the next morning while we made breakfast. But I know what I saw. It might not be the creepiest story that you've ever shared, but to me in that moment, it was incredibly eerie. If anybody has ever heard of anything like this, please comment down below. I would love to know what this was. My name is Amanda. I'm a 28-year-old Hispanic female, and I was born and raised in Southern California in a small town called Paris. It's a small sort of ghetto area, but it was home. We lived in the nicest house on our street, but because of how bad the area got over the years, I had to get a wrought iron fence eventually, and bars on all the windows, and two German shepherds just in case. To be honest, my mom and I used to think my dad was way too paranoid. Growing up, I used to walk up and down the streets of my hometown with my friends, and even though it wasn't the best area, nothing ever happened to me, and nothing ever made me feel unsafe. Until this happened. My dad had enough of living in the ghetto, and my parents had been wanting to move for years. Finally, my dad found a job in Arizona where my uncle lived, so he left for Arizona to temporarily live with my uncle to start his job and house search for us, while me, my mom, and my sisters stayed behind to pack everything in boxes. I only had a couple of months to get everything in order, but when I found the time, I wanted to hang out with some friends before I left California. The night this happened, I was planning to hang out with my ex-boyfriend. Let's call him Freddy. We were both kind of broke, so we just grabbed a couple of Arizona iced teas from the gas station and went to hang out at a small park in town. Keep in mind, it was about 8 or 9 at night and it was very dark. But I had grown up going to the park and had been there so many times that I didn't really see a problem with it at the time. A big, dumb mistake on my end. When we got there, I decided just in case to leave my wallet in my purse and tuck it under my seat. I thought I was smart, and we grabbed our drinks and started to walk around the big grassy area. We were just talking and showing each other funny pictures from our phone. There were some people when we first got there, but not even 15 minutes passed and it seemed like everyone had just vanished. First red flag. We also passed by a suspicious looking guy with his dog sitting at a bench like he was waiting for someone, who also whistled when we passed by. Another red flag that I stupidly ignored. Freddy and I started sitting at a small hill behind the restroom, still continuing our conversation about God knows what. When all of a sudden I heard some footsteps approaching the left of us. That's when everything happened. It was all so fast. I remember looking up and seeing four Latino guys with bald heads, and if I had to guess, they all could have been older than 20. One ran up to Freddy and yelled, "Hey, where are you from, ese?" Freddy's response was, "What?" But before the guy could ask again, Freddy just jumped up and ran. Just the one guy chased after him. And yes, he left me there alone, with the three remaining guys staring at me. I have never felt more fear in my entire life. So scared that my legs felt too heavy to move, and I knew that these guys could catch me. Then, the one who looked like he was the youngest approached me with a long knife in his hand and pressed it against my stomach. Not enough to puncture, but enough to hurt. He also kept one hand on my shoulder. I guess to make sure I couldn't even think about moving or trying anything. My phone was kind of small at the time, but it was so dark that luckily I was able to slip it into my sleeve while they weren't looking, and hopefully be able to dial 911. "Give me everything you got, girl. Empty your pockets now," he said to me. I remember thinking he was trying to convince me and the guys behind him how tough he was, but he just wasn't tough, you know? He didn't seem very tough, anyway. I put both my hands up and said I didn't have anything, I swear, please. He looked back at the other guy, and back at me, and that's when I started to cry. I started to pray, "Please, God, I just want to see my mom again, please." Then he said, "Pull that stuff out of your pockets, now." I pulled out my car keys and a $1 bill, and for some reason, got either brave or stupid and said, "See, like I said, I have nothing." Again, he looked back at his friends, and they were really getting impatient and nervous. That's when it hit me. Oh my God, this is a gang initiation. God help me. He then said, "I know you've got a phone, so give it." Again, I put my hands up and told him, "I don't have it on me. You can check if you want." Stupid, I know, but I thought if I told him that he would believe me. He didn't, so he checked my pockets of my sweater, and I kept thinking, oh my God, if my phone rings, these guys are definitely going to kill me. Finally, the guy who was chasing Freddy ran back, but no Freddy. I'm guessing that was their signal to get the hell out of there, because all of a sudden the guy grabs my keys and the $1 bill, gives me a shove, and they all took off running, scattering in different directions out of the park. I'm guessing as planned. Still in shock that I was alive and had not been stabbed to death or worse, I stood there for another 2 or 3 minutes looking around to make sure they were gone. Not knowing what the hell happened to Freddy, and angry as hell that he betrayed and left me, I finally felt like I could move and start running again. Crying, breathing hard, feeling like I was going to pass out from all the shock. I found a lit area of picnic benches where I sat, and all of a sudden I heard Freddy call my name and run to me. I wanted to slap the hell out of his face, but for some reason was glad he was alive. Looking back now, I have no idea why I gave a crap. I pulled out my phone and called the police, and called AAA because my keys had been stolen, and my mom didn't know where the spare key was. The cops took my statement, and I distinctly remember how the cop looked at Freddy in disgust when he heard that he had left me. They never found the guys, but the keys were replaceable, and the $1 bill was a small cost to pay for my life. I had nightmares for weeks, and sometimes I still have them. I sometimes get stomach pains in that same spot where the guy pushed a knife to me. This was a traumatizing experience that made me very, very paranoid as a person. I have since moved out of California and now live in another state with my husband of 4 years. I have developed a habit of checking and rechecking the locks on my doors and my car. I'm constantly looking behind me and have had panic attacks because I always think I'm being followed, even though the town I live in is very safe. Freddy and I didn't talk for years, but he has since apologized to me and admitted to being scared, which is, you know, it does mean a lot, and it is tough for a guy to admit. He now has a family of his own, and we have remained friends on Facebook, but we don't talk very often. What I learned from this experience is to not ignore the red flags and to never, ever hang out in parks at night. About 5 years ago, I and my older sister went to a nature park, a wetland, so to speak. Of course, we went at night so we could skateboard around because you weren't allowed to. But you know, a 14-year-old trying to look cool in front of her 24-year-old sister is not too uncommon, I guess. Well, we went just around as the sun was setting. For a little bit, we got lost since the park was so big and condensed with thick woods. We were trying to find the bridge, a 20-foot or so bridge so we could hang out just above the rushing river. By the time we got there, the sun was hardly visible over the mountains. I looked around after drinking my water, and here is where the creepy stuff happened. As I looked at the other side of the bridge, I saw a tall, skinny figure. I first shrugged it off like it was a person, maybe a ranger of the park. But then, it got on all fours and walked away. I didn't say anything at first, mainly because I thought it was mainly probably a bear or something. I looked back at my sister as we chatted about the boys and all the other things that we would chat about. Then I looked back at the end of the bridge. My sister did too, and we both saw the figure. This time, we both had known that we had seen it, so we couldn't be crazy. At this point, I had totally freaked out. Mind you, it's still not dark out and the sky was purple and orange, so it wasn't like we were seeing things, like when your mind pictures figures in the dark. No, it was right there and getting closer. I told my sister to get the heck out of here. Her going first off the bridge and down the hill. I went second. And as I turned to look at the bridge again, it was 5 feet in front of me on all fours again. It stood there as me and my sister skated off. This isn't the end, unfortunately. I told my sister to head to the main building since there are cameras and lots of light. We skateboarded for what seemed like hours. Every minute seemed to last an eternity. As we finally get to the main building, we finally stop riding our boards. Out of breath and scared, we both looked around. By this time, it was pitch black outside and we could barely see anything. We made a dash to the car, taking a path we have never seen before. But it was outside the park, which made us feel safer. After we got to my sister's Jeep, we both got in, hearts racing and scared out of our minds. We had been trying to leave the gate, but it was locked. meaning we couldn't leave since there was only one way in and out of the park. We got even more scared. We tried everything to get out. We thought about just leaving the car and walking home, but we drove onto the sidewalk and eventually found a way to bypass everything. To this day, I won't go back to those wetlands ever again, even in daylight. Whatever that thing was, I never want to see it again. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm almost 19 now. You can think whatever you want about this story, but it really did happen to me. I and my sister don't even talk about it to this day. Something changed between us. I could feel it after that day. Every summer for the past few years, a group of friends and I have traveled from our homes in Liverpool, in the UK, to Dumfries and Galloway in Scotland. Dumfries and Galloway is the home of the largest continuous forest in the whole of the United Kingdom, Galloway Forest Park. It's about as wild as it gets for the UK, with some parts of the woods being so dense and overgrown that it's clear no one has stepped foot in them for hundreds, possibly thousands of years. Our yearly visits brought us peace, clarity, and respect for nature. But last year's trip ended in one of the most horrifying and distressing incidents of my entire life, one that completely changed the way I see the world and the way I consider the human mind. Year in, year out, we take an overnight coach up across the border, then hike out to a place called Loch Eber. The Loch is a private fishing lake, supposedly reserved for members of a local fishing club who ensure the waters are chock full of fish for them to catch, which makes it oh so easy for us to pull a quick in and out raid to catch enough of the smaller rough fish for dinner. I'm serious, 45 minutes and we're golden, and take it from any fisherman, that is lightning speed for a half decent catch. But last year we decided we were tired of the same old digs and set our gazes on a different part of the map. According to a map that we had found, it told us that there was a similarly deep loch about 30 miles east known as Loch Dee. We figured it would be a perfect fishing spot, and we were right. Sure, it wasn't as quick fire as the private member's lake, but it came with considerably less guilt. Everything was going perfect. That was until the second night, when in the middle of a campfire drinking session, one of my buddies jumped out of his seat and recoiled from the fire. "What the hell is that?" he asked, sort of calmly at first. Nothing more than cautious confusion. "Who's who?" someone replies lazily. "Someone moving through the trees back there." He was pointing into the trees directly behind my back. I actually gave a hoot of sarcastic laughter at first, thinking he was trying to scare us. But the moment it became obvious that he was not messing around, and a jolt of fear went through my freaking face, I leaped out of my seat, spun around, and shined my torch into the darkness. You could feel the tension among us rising as we desperately looked around for who might have been stalking us out here. Torch beams darted across the trees, inspecting every trunk or thicket of the bushes, but there was nothing that we could see, no sign of the person my friend had seen. "Hello?" someone called out, immediately shushed by the rest of us. No one wanted to give away our position, but at the same time, we needed to know if there was someone out there, watching us. But again, there was just silence. "I think you've had a bit too much to drink, mate," I remember saying to the guy who supposedly seen a figure walking through the trees. "I'm fine, I barely touched that bell," I brought. "I swear to God I saw someone just then." "Like who?" someone asked. "Man, woman, young, old, what?" I don't know," he replied shakily. "But they were big. Really big." "The only big thing around here is your bloody imagination, mate. Now go get your head down. It's been a long day." And it had. Thanks to the overnight coach, no one really sleeps on the journey up to Scotland. I mean, they close their eyes, maybe, you know, get a few minutes of sleep, listen to some chill music through their headphones, but they never really sleep. So everyone ends up being pretty wrecked by the end of the first night. The next morning we felt even worse. The first night after such a long journey is usually one where we sleep like the dead, but not that night. None of us could quite relax, not with the possibility of having someone stalking us in the back of our minds. Thank God we were only planning to fish that day, as we really were not in the mood for anything else, given how bloody exhausted we were. After breakfast, we marched down to the lock with our fishing gear. It's a gorgeous area, a crisp, blue lake ringed by hills. It's not unusual to get some really nice, sunny days up in Scotland too, especially during the summer. But that day, the sky was horrible, grimy gray, like the sun had barely risen at all. I was tired, half-soaked from the drizzle, and barely even excited to be fishing for my dinner. I actually hoped that something exciting would happen, and for my sins, my wish came true. "Look," one of us shouted. "Over there, on the other side of the lock. Jesus Christ, can you see that thing?" It was the same lad that had seen someone or something walking through the trees. "Where?" We were terrified. One sighting could have been his eyes playing tricks on him. Another couldn't possibly be a mistake, right? "There," he said, pointing. "Just on the other side. It came out of the trees for a moment, then disappeared again. Please tell me you saw that." "Mate, just calm down. It's probably just..." "I know what I saw, and we need to get the hell out of these bloody woods right now," he said, grabbing up his gear in a panic. I remember him rushing off back to camp, one of the lads following him, still trying to calm him down. But it was impossible. He was manic, scared half to death by whatever he had briefly seen. I asked the other boys if they had seen anything. Each shook their head. None had any idea what he was talking about, but that didn't mean they weren't just as freaked out over his outburst. We were supposed to stay for 7 full nights, but that second one was our last. We managed to talk the lad who was panicking down, convincing him to stay a few nights more at the very least. We'd come all this way, and I wasn't about to let us just leave because we were a wee scared of something. But it didn't end there. In the middle of the night, the lad had been seeing something burst out of his tent, waking up each of us before saying, "Can you hear that?" There was silence. Dead silence. I mean, I strained my ears trying to hear what he could hear, but there was nothing. He was scratching at his own ears, gritting his teeth, rocking back and forth in the dirt. It's like this sound was completely overwhelming him. That's the exact moment I realized that maybe something was happening. Maybe there was no monster. Maybe it was all in his head. He was experiencing a psychotic break, and it was all in his head. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true, national park, state park, and just normal park stories. These are some of my favorite ones to read. You just never know what you're gonna get out there. These stories were pretty weird. That last one really had me thinking for a minute. It's such a twist. What did you think about these stories? Let me know in the comments below. I'd love to hear your opinions. If you have a story that you would like to share in a video, whether it be a forest story, a paranormal story, a park story, or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories and bring them with you wherever you want, from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and wherever else you listen to podcasts online. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. We are almost at 170,000 subscribers, and I can't thank you enough for that. If you haven't joined us yet, please, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, and don't miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you soon with another creepy video.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.